Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Kuf Hei. A good night to everybody. We left off, we actually got to daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. We're at the top of the page, we're at the two dots on toward the top of the page in daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. So we are up to Chutz Mipachos Shavapruta Bekeren. So the Mishnah had said, if we recall, the Mishnah had said that if a person steals from somebody and he denies owing the money, and he swears to his denial that he doesn't owe the money, and then later on he's moda, so we know the halacha is that you not only have to pay back the money that you owe, you have to add an extra chomesh, and your chayav a karban as well. Now, the Mishnah had discussed, what if the person, so the Mishnah's main focus was about chasing after the guy, that you have to make sure that you pay him, and you have to find him wherever he is in order to pay him, but you only need to chase after him to pay him back the keren. Once you've already paid him the keren, or he's been mochel the keren, you don't need to chase after him in order to pay him the chomesh. So the way the Mishnah phrased it was, if you've already given him the keren, but you haven't given him the chomesh, or he was mochel on the keren, but wasn't mochel on the chomesh, or he was mochel on everything, except for less than a shavapruta of the keren. So you still owe him part of the keren, but the part of the keren that you owe him is less than a shavapruta. So that's what the Mishnah said. You don't need to chase after him in order to pay him back the less than the shavapruta of the keren that you owe him. So says the Gemara, Amrav Papa, lo shanu ela she'in gezela kayemes. When do you not have to chase after him to pay him the less than the shavapruta of the keren that you owe him? That's if you no longer have the gezela, meaning all you chayv to him is money. You're not chayv an item, an object to him. You're chayv money to him. And since the chiv mamon is on less than a shavapruta, so you don't need to chase after him to get him that money. Aval gezela kayemes, but if the gezela is still around, the item that you stole, you still have, so you have that tiny sliver of an item that right now is worth less than the shavapruta, and you're supposed to return it, then sarich lelech achra, then you better find him and return it, because chayshin and shematiyakar, because although right now that sliver of the item is worth less than a shavapruta, and therefore lechora there's no chiyuv hashava on it, nevertheless, it might go up in value. Since we're not talking about money, we're talking about an object, it might go up in value, and it might soon be worth a shavapruta. And once it's worth a shavapruta, you will have a chiyuv hashava. So you better go and return that item prior to bringing your karban, in order to fulfill any chance of a chiyuv hashava, the possibility that there will be a chiyuv hashava. That's one lashon. Ikata amri, another lashon is that Amrav Papa, that Rav Papa's chiddush is no. Lo shna gzeila kayemes, v'lo shna shein gzeila kayemes. I don't care if you still have the object that you stole, or you don't have the object that you stole. In either case, Eino tzarech leilech achrav, you still don't have to go after the guy. L'shema tiyaker lo chayshinan. We're not worried that maybe it's going to go up in value. Right now, what do you have? What do you owe him? You owe him something that's worth less than a shavapruta. There's no chiyuv hashava on less than a shavapruta. I don't care that it might go up in value. It didn't go up in value right now. Right now, it's less than a shavapruta, and that's all one need concern themselves with. Now, there is a major machlokas rishonim, quoted in the Shidim Gubetzes, regarding how to understand this machlokas between the first daya and the second daya. Again, the first daya says that you do have to worry that shematiyakir might go up in value if you still have the object, and therefore you need to return it, even though right now it's worth less than a shavapruta. The second daya says that you don't have to worry that it's going to go up in value, and therefore even if you have the original object, you don't need to go find the guy in order to return it. So the Shidim Gubetzes quotes from the Rush that according to the first lashon, the chashash is it's going to go up in value, and it will turn out, if it goes up in value, that you had a chiyuv hashava that you didn't fulfill. And therefore, even if you subsequently pay, your carbon is going to be pasul l'mafreya. Meaning that's the first lashon's concern, that the first lashon holds that if it does go up in value, it will turn out you were never mekayim your chiyuv hashava. So when you go and you bring your carbon doesn't help unless you did your chiyuv hashava. But if it turns out l'mafreya that you never did your chiyuv hashava, your carbon is going to be pasul l'mafreya. Whereas the second lashon says no. When you brought your karban, the item was worth less than a shavapruta. If when you brought your karban, you didn't have a chiyuv hashava because the item was worth less than a shavapruta, we're not worried about what's going to happen afterwards, because even if it does go up afterwards, we're not going to go and rewrite history. We're not going to go back in time and say, oh, now it turns out he wasn't Mekayim his Chiyuv HaShava. At the time that he brought his Karban, he was Mekayim his Chiyuv Hashava. And that's the machlokas between the first Lashon and the second Lashon. That in, according to the first Lashon, if it is Miyaker, if it does go up in value, it will turn out your Karbon is Nifsal. According to the second Lashon, if it goes up in value, your Karbon won't be Nifsal. That's how the Rush understands, quoting the Shittim Gvetzas. The Rashba, however, says, no, that according to both Lashonos, if it goes up in value, it will turn out the mafreya that your carbon was pasul. There's no doubt. If it goes up in value, then it will turn out that you were never mekayim your chiyuv hashava. So how could your carbon possibly be good if you had a chiyuv hashava that you weren't mekayim? So the Rashba says both lashonos would agree to that. Aye, so what's this second lashon saying when it says we're not worried shemit siyaker? It means exactly that. Ein achinami. If it were to go up in value, it would be a big problem for you. We're not concerned that it might go up in value. You don't have to be choshesh. You don't have to do a hashava on the concern that it might go up in value. Look, you're taking a chance by not doing the hashava, because if you don't do the hashava and you bring your carbon and then it does go up in value, you're going to be in trouble. You're then going to be chayiv. Your carbon will then become pasul. But you don't have to worry about that l'chadchila. You don't have to worry about that eventuality. You don't have to worry about that happening. So that's a fundamental machlokas between the Rush and the Rashba. What is the machlokas between the first Lashon and the second Lashon? According to the Rush, the machlokas is, what would happen if it does go up in value? Will that possibly your carbon? According to the Rashba, it's not what would happen if it does go up in value. It will definitely possibly your carbon. The machlokas is, do you have to worry that it will go up in value? The Tosfos Shantz has a third understanding of the machlokas, and he understands that according to the first Lashon, since there's always the possibility that it will go up in value, right now you have a Chiyuv Hashava, not because that possibility may come true, but since that possibility exists, the Nigzal is not Mochel. Meaning, what's the din? Why is there no Chiyuv Hashava and Pachos Mishava Pruta? Because we assume that a Nigzal is Mochel on Pachos Mishava Pruta. But if the Nigzal knows that right now it's worth Pachos Mishava Pruta, but you never know with the market, the fluctuations in the market, it might go up and it might be worth more than Mishava Pruta, the Nigzal is not going to be Mochel so quickly on something that right now is Pachos Mishava Pruta. And therefore, right now you have a Chiyuv. It's not that the eventuality is the concern. It's that right now you have a Chiyuv, because in the Nigzal's mind, he's not Mochel, since he's aware of the possibility that it might one day go up. Whereas according to the second Lashon, no, the Nigzal is Mochel, because all the Nigzal is concerned about is right now. The truth is, the Tos Shantz doesn't really explain the second Lashon. You could explain the second Lashon in one of two ways. You could say that the second Lashon holds that if right now it's not worth a Shavar Pruta, he's Mochel, even if later on it is going to be worth a Shavar Pruta, because right the Nigzal is Mochel based on the Mitzius right now. Or you could explain that the Tos Shantz would say that the second Lashon holds that if right now it's worth a Shavar Pruta, we're not worried that it's going to go up and become worth a Shavar Pruta. But in a chinami, if it does go up and is worth a Shavar Pruta, then it will turn out he wasn't Mochel, and your carbon would be Nifsal and Mafreya. But either way, the Tos Shantz holds it's a din in Mechila. It's not an issue regarding the carbon. What do we care if it's an issue regarding the carbon or an issue regarding the Mechila? So obviously there's a huge nafkamina. Nafkamina is there any... Is this a halachic discussion, bizman hazeh? Meaning, if it's only an issue of a karban, it's an issue of whether your karban becomes nifsal or not, so then this whole discussion is a moot point, bizman hazeh. What, you're worried it's going to go up in value, and therefore your karban is going to be nifsal? You don't have a karban, bizman hazeh. So if it goes up in value, you'll be mekayim, chiyuv hashava. In the meantime, you don't have to worry at all. But if you hold that it's an issue of whether the Nigzal is Mochel or not, whether there's a presumed Mechila, so that's very nogeya to Bizman Hazeh. That if you understand like Tosfos Shantz, that the Nigzal may not be Mochel when he's aware of the possibility that it will go up in value, so then you should have to return it right away. You can't take your chances and wait and see if it does or doesn't go up in value, because that's not the issue. You would have to return it right away. In fact, the Rif leaves out both of these Lashonos of Rav Papa. He doesn't mention either one of them. And Pashtus, the reason he doesn't mention it is because the Rif holds this is not Halacha L'maisa. It's not Nogea Bizman Hazeh. The Rush quotes both Lashonos, and Paskin's like the second Lashon. And the Rambam and the Torah also quote both Lashonos and Paskin like the second Lashon, or at least they Paskin like the second Lashon. And Mistama, they hold that there is enough Kamina Bizman Hazeh, that this is an issue of Mechila. It's not only an issue of the Karban. There is a further machlokes Rishonim that the Torah quotes. The Torah in Simon Shin Samuch Zayin quotes machlokes Rishonim. What if it does go up in value and becomes worth a Shavar Pruta? So according to the Ri, you're still Pater from a Shavas Gezela, and according to the Ramah, you're then Chayiv Hashavas Gezela. Ramah with a Hey, you're Chayiv in Hashavas Gezela. And the Minchas Chinuch explains, Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed explains, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about what is the Ptur from Hashavas Gezela when it's less than Hashavah Bruta. Is it because it doesn't have a Shir Hashava, that you simply don't have enough to be Mekayim a Mitzvah Hashava? In which case, when it goes up in value, then certainly you do have enough to be Mekayim a Mitzvah Hashava, and you would be Chayiv to do Hashava. Or no, maybe you could say like the second side, that it's not that there's no Shir Hashava, but it's because the Nigzal is Mochel. That when there's less than a Shavah Pruta, at that time, the Nigzal is already Mochel. Now, once the Nigzal is Mochel, you're Pater from the Hashava of that item. I don't care if it later goes up to be worth more than a Shavah Pruta. If Nigzal is Mochel Achshav, if right now he's already been Mochel, so he's already been Mochel on this item, so then you wouldn't have to, even if it does go up in value, you wouldn't have to go ahead and be Mekayim your Mitzvah Hashava. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes a further nafkamina. Minchas Chinuch mentions that in Mitzvah Kof Lamed that there's another nafkamina in this Chakira. If you steal a Chatzi Pruta and then you go steal another Chatzi Pruta, so again, if the reason why you don't have to return the first Chatzi Pruta is because there's no Chi of Hashava, there's no Mitzvah Hashava, it's just not a Shir of Hashava, so once you're mashing the Shir, then you would have to return it, because you now have the Shir Hashava. But if the reason is because of Mechila, well, once he's already been Mochel in the first Chatzi Pruta, so then the second Chatzi Pruta is not going to be Mitztaref to the Shir of a full Pruta to be Mechayev you in Hashava. So that's the basic discussion, the two lashonos of Papa. Now the Gemara is going to quote a series of statements and questions that Rava made. I believe there are six statements and or questions that Rava had. So number one, Amar Rava, Gazel Shalosh Agudos B'Shalosh Prutos. A person steals three bundles, and the three of them together are worth three prutos, meaning each one is worth a pruta. But then, v'huzlu vamdu al shtayim. Then the three bundles went down in value, and now they're only worth two prutas. So essentially, each bundle is now worth less than a shava pruta. Im hichzulo shtayim, chayiv lahachzulo acheres. Even though you returned two of them already, there still remains a chiyuv hashava on the third. Meaning, even though the third bundle is right now not worth a shava pruta, it's you still have a chiyuv hashava on that third bundle. The Tanatuna, and we have a Tana that supports this. Gazel chametz v'avrelav haPesach. If you steal chametz and then avrelav haPesach in Yonah Dioma, then Pesach comes and now it's after Pesach, so the chametz is chametz v'avrelav haPesach. So the chametz is obviously worthless right now, but at the time that you stole it, it was worth something. Omerlo, Hareshel Chalafanecha. You're allowed to go back to the person you stole it from and say, look, here's your stuff. Hareshel Chalafanecha. This is what I stole from you. It's right in front of you. Take it. Even though right now it has no value. So what do we see? Taima di'isei be'enei. The reason you're allowed to say, Hareshel Chalafanecha, you can return it to him and say, this is what I stole from you. Take it. It's yours. Is because it's still around. But what if the chametz were no longer around? What if the chametz had been destroyed or lost since then? So now, what would the halacha be? Even though right now the item that you stole has no value, since it did have value at the time that you stole it, you are going to have to pay for it. So you see that we're not interested in whether it's worth a shavar pruta right now. We're interested in whether it was worth a shavar pruta at the time that you stole it. So if it was worth a shavar pruta at the time that you stole it, you're still going to have to pay back the value of what it was when you stole it, even though right now it has no value or a diminished value in our case. So Achanami, in our case as well, with the three bundles, Avagav the Hashtalo shavar pruta, even though right now that third bundle is certainly not worth a shavar pruta, Kivin de Meikara have a shavar pruta, since initially it was worth a shavar pruta, you're going to have to pay, you're going to have to return it. Now, there is an obvious difference between the two cases. In the case of the Chametz Shavar Lav HaPesach, you're Poshea. meaning you took the chametz and then you allowed it to be avrel of Pesach without doing a mechiras chametz or anything, so you were totally poshea and allowing the chametz to become like that. Whereas in this case, it's just market, simple market fluctuations. You didn't do anything to it. It's still there. You didn't. So it's just the market that adjusted to it. But nevertheless, the Gemara seems to assume that the two cases are comparable. That ha'ara is the Pnei Yeshua's ha'ara. He doesn't answer it, but that's the Pnei Yeshua's ha'ara, that it doesn't seem that the two cases really match up with each other. If you look at Tosfos, on the top Tosfos, Amar Rava Gazel Shal Shagudos B'Gimel Prutos V'Huzel V'Amdol Shayim Chayv L'Hachzir L'Acharis, says Tosfos Pirish Im Yeshna Be'en Machzirosa. If it's still around, if that third bundle is still there, you need to return it. V'Im Lav, and if it's not there, Mishalim Le'Shava Pruta Kimosha Haisa Shava B'Shasag Zela. Then you would need to pay a pruta that it was worth at the time that you stole it. Now, says Tosfos, here's the Chiddush. V'hu adin ba'achas shegazla v'huzla. It doesn't have to be three bundles. It could be you stole one bundle that was worth a pruta, and now it's worth less than a pruta. Shemachzulo aguda odameha, where the halach would still be. You either need to return that bundle that you stole, or its value. El rabus, or meaning its original value. El Rabusa, when Rava teaches me a case of three bundles, he's coming to teach me an extra chiddush that I would not have known had he only taught me a case of one bundle. Why? What's the extra chiddush? Dafilu b'shlosha dikiyei mitzvah sashava b'tarti. Even when in a case where he stole three bundles and he already returned two, so you could say that he was already mekayim a mitzvah of hashava. Meaning, since at the time that he stole three, so there's one big mitzvah sashava on all three, and he was mekayim a mitzvah sashava because he returned everything chutz mi pachos mi shava pruta. He returned everything except for less than a shava pruta. So since he was mekayim a mitzvah sashava, I might have thought that he doesn't have to do anything more, that he doesn't have to do anything further, that he would not have to pay back the third bundle. Still, that's the Chiddush Rava. Afilu hachi chayv lahachzir lachas. You still have to go return that third bundle. Okay, so that's the I says Tosfos Avgav de Mehayv Tana Tuna de Maisi Lo Mashmina Elehecha de Gazal Achas Vuhuzla De Yidam Yil Gazal Chametz Mavrol of Pesach. I from the Tana Tuna, which we use to support Rava's Chiddush, it doesn't teach us that added twist, that even if you were mekayim a mitzvah hashava, yet you still would have to pay back the rest, because the case of chametz shavar lav pesach is you didn't do any mitzvah hashava. So it would only teach me the basic chiddush. It wouldn't teach me that extra twist that we get by making it a case of three bundles. Still, Ayurabusa d'gimel kama Rava misvara. Rava said that extra chiddush, that added twist, he said misvara. That was misvara de nafshei. He doesn't need a tana to teach him that chiddush, meaning once you have the basic chiddush that there is a chiyuv hashava because at the time that you stole something that was worth a shava pruta, you don't need a tanaic source to support that extra twist that even if you came a mitzvah hashava with the first two, that you still have a chiyuv hashava on the third. That Rava could say from his own svara that he doesn't need any tanaim in order to say. Okay, next statement of Rava number two by Rava. Gazel shtei agudos bepruta. Let's say you steal two agudos that are worth a pruta. Vehechzer lo achas mehen, and you return one of them. Mahu, what's the din? Mi amrin hashtalak gzeila odim lo hada gzeila davai gabei. Do we say that right now you don't have any gzeila in your hand because you have only something worth less than a pruta? Or do we say no, that you didn't return the entire gzeila that you had, and therefore, since it's still in your hands, you still have a chiyuv hashava? So hada pashta gzeila ein kan hashava ein kan. So then he answered Shaili, he said, look, there's no gzeila, and you haven't fulfilled your chiyuv hashava. You don't have a gzeila in your hand, and you haven't fulfilled your chiyuv hashava. So frankly, more that doesn't make any sense. Gzeila ein kan, if you're not considered to have the gzeila in your hand anymore, hashava yeshkan, then by definition, you've already returned the gzeila. You have fulfilled your chiyuv hashava. So you mean gzeila ein kan, hashava ein kan. So achi kamar, no, that's the chiddush, that afal pisha gzeila ein kan, mitzvahs hashava in kan. Now the chiddush is that even though you don't have a shava prut of a stolen item remaining in your hands, still you never did a mitzvahs hashava either, because you never did a hashava of a shava pruta. So that's the chiddush, that mitzvahs hashava in kan. So we see that you were not mekayim the mitzvah of Hashavah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, third statement of Rava. Ve Amar Rava, Harei Amru Nazir Shegileach V'Shir Shtei Saros Loas of Lo Klum. If a Nazir shaves his head, which he's supposed to do at the end of his Nazirus, right, the Giluach at the end of the Nazirus is critical, and he leaves two hairs on his head, he's supposed to shave off all the hairs, but he leaves Shtei Saros Loas of Lo Klum, his shaving is nothing. So the Bai Rava, so Rava just set you up to ask the following question. Gileach achas v'nosra achas mahu. What if of those two remaining hairs, which means that his first haircut was meaningless halachically, because he left two hairs. But now what if of those two remaining hairs, he's megaleach one of those hairs, and the second of those hairs just falls out on its own. So what's the din? Was he then mekayim the mitzvah skiluach? Samle revach midivt l'ravina, nazir shegileach achas achas kamibay l'ravah? I mean, what's the shayla? If a guy were to shave off all of his head and leave one hair, he is mekayim the mitzvah skiluach. So over here as well, the guy shaved off all of his hair, it's just that he left two and then he shaved off one of those two, so he shaved off all of them except for one. So, meaning, do you think you have to shave all the hairs at one time, at the same exact moment? Obviously, some hairs are going to come off before others. It's a process. It takes time to shave off all of his hair. So if he shaved off all of his hair in one sitting, and then shaved off everything except for one remaining hair that happened to have fallen out on its own anyway, but he shaved off everything except for one remaining hair, so of course he was mekayim the mitzvah skiluach. What kind of shail is that? No, the case is as follows. Of the two remaining hairs, one fell out, and then he shaved the last one. Do we say, wait a second, you can't count that last giluach as a giluach because there was only one hair left. The first side is, do we say, look, right now, bottom line, he's bald. So what do we care? He was mekayim, the mitzvah's giluach. O dilma, halav giluach, l'dimeikara, hashir shtei saros, v'asha ki gileach, l'avi be saros. Or do we say, no, he was not mekayim the mitzvah skiluach, this isn't called a real mitzvah skiluach, because initially there were two hairs left, and so that didn't count as a giluach, his first shaving didn't count as a giluach, because he left two hairs, and now on his last giluach it doesn't count as a giluach, because he only cut one hair. So do we say that counts as a giluach or not? The Teferes Tzion, quoted in the Biur Yadav over here, quotes the Teferes Tzion as explaining the suffix very well. The suffix is as follows. He says, what is the mitzvah of giluach? Is the mitzvah of giluach a goal-oriented mitzvah or a maisa-oriented mitzvah? Meaning, what's the hakpada of the Torah? Is the hakpada of the Torah that you do a maisa giluach, that you need to do a maisa of shaving shtei saros, that leads to a bald head? In which case, over here, you didn't, because you never your first maisa giluach did not leave you with a bald head, and your second act was not a maisa giluach because it wasn't a shtei saros. Or is the Torah more makbid on the result? The Torah just cares that at the end of the day, you have a bald head. And in which case, over here, at the end of the day, you do have a bald head. So that's the issue. That's the suffix, specifically, that's being raised. So says the Gemara, Hadar Pashta, Seir Ein Kan Giluach Ein Kan, that Rava then was poshet this Shaila, that look, you have no hair left, and you were not mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach. Wait a second, he's saying, Kan Giluach Eshkan. What do you mean? If you're saying he has no hair, it means he was mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach. No, Hachikam, this is what he means to say. Afal Pisha Seirin Kan, mitzvah Giluach Ein Kan. Even though you don't have any hair left, you still were not mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach. Well, what does it matter if I was mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach or not? Right now he has no hair. So how is his halachic status affected by the fact that he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah of Giluach? So says Tosfos, mitzvah Giluach ein kan uma'akev milishlos yayinim l'tam in the mesim ki ilu lo gileach. Meaning because he didn't do a Giluach, his Nazirus isn't over. He's not allowed to start drinking wine and become tamei to mesim yet, because it's as if he never did a giluach. Kolam commanding a giluach ma'akev, da'achar yishtah nazir, yayin achar kulam. That when we say that, we're assuming, like the shita that holds, that the giluach holds him back. Until he does the giluach, he's held back from these isurim, from being able to drink wine and being tamei the mesim. So that's one possibility. Inami, another possibility, Tulsa says, what's the halachic ramification of him not having done a mitzvah skiluach? Linyan mitzvah ka'amar. T'lo kiyem mitzvah skiluach. V'alibu t'kuli amud. T'plukti ibn azir perakim u'minim. Was he mekayim the mitzvah? I mean, it's not an issue of what he's going to be allowed to do, what he's not going to be allowed to do. Okay, so Enoch Hanami, it doesn't matter what he's going to be allowed to do, not allowed. He's going to be, maybe Enoch Hanami is allowed to drink wine between time in the mason anyway. But was he mekayim the mitzvah of giluach? That's the issue, right? Whether he was or was not, simply mekayim the mitzvah, that's the issue. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter, fourth statement of Rava, if I'm counting correctly. Ve'amar Rava, hare amru, chavish shenikvos tamuha. Let's say you had a barrel that had a punctured a hole in it, and you closed up the hole, shmarim, with the sediment at the bottom of the barrel. Hitzilua, so you have saved what's on the other side. What in the world are we talking about? So says Rashi, case is, you have a barrel, v'nasnua al pi aruba, and you put this klicheres barrel on a skylight that separates between a bottom floor and a top floor. Umemarechas yafasivaseha, and you tar around it to make sure it's airtight. Vituma bebayis, and there's tuma in the ground floor. Matzelas al ha'aliyah kula milava bashum tuma. So that plug that plugs the hole of the barrel saves everything in the top floor from becoming tamei from the tuma that's in the bottom floor. Destima shmarim stimahi, because the closure of the barrel with the sediment is considered a valid closure, lo shalta be tuma, and tuma therefore is unable to spread to the top floor. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos doesn't like that understanding, because Tosos says a couple of things. First of all, this din, this Mishnah, is a Mishnah Meseches Kelim, in Perikud Mishnah Vav of Kelim. He says, if Rashi's pshat were correct, it's in the wrong Mesechta. It should be Mesechta Ohalos, because it's not about the Kli, it's about the Kli protecting from the Tumas Ohel above it. So rather, Tosso says, the real Chiddush is, v'nir lefarish, what the case is really talking about is, da'airi b'chavis hamukefes tzamid psil. We're talking about a barrel that's sealed at the top, she'ein tumin echneses baba olames. So that if that barrel were in olames, or in a room with a dead body, the tumah would not go and affect the things that are inside the kli itself. V'nakva b'konis mashka, and then the barrel was punctured, and there's with a large enough shear to allow tuma to get through, ustamua shemarim. But you close that puncture, you close that hole with the sediment. So that's what we're saying, matzelas al kol mashe betocha, that plug is going to save the contents of the barrel from becoming tamei with oel ames when the barrel remains, when it's mukaf tzamid psil, and it remains in a room with a dead body, it's going to be able to be matzelit from becoming tamei. That's the chiddush. Okay, either way, whether you understand like Rashi or Tosos, frek the Gemara, bai rava agaf chetzia mahu. What if you sealed half of it? Isn't this a Mishnah? To Tanan, the Mishnah says, Chavish Nikvah Samur Shmar Mitzilua, Pakaka Bizmura Ad Sheim Areach. If you plug it with a vine, so then you need to tar around it. Hayubashtaim, if you plugged it with two vines, Ad Sheim Areach Menat Stadim, Ubein Zmur Lechavirta, then you need to tar both around the surface as well as between each vine. So Taim of the Marach, Halom Marachlo, sounds like only if you seal it off, you tar it well. But if you don't seal it off with tar, it's not going to be good. But why should you have to tar it off to make it airtight? Vitavi kiagav chetzia. Shouldn't it be like the same thing as plugging half of the shear? As long as right now it's pachos mikashir, it's less than the hole is smaller than the size that would allow tuma to come through. Shouldn't that be all you need? Why do I need the miruach as well? So you see that agav chetzia is not good enough. That once the hole was big enough, you need to plug the hole in its entirety. Plugging it halfway is not going to work. So answers were no, Amri. So you can't compare the two cases. The case of plugging it with a vine where you need to tar it airtight versus a case where the sediment plugs it up. With the vine, if you don't tar it, the vine itself is not going to stay there. The small plug that you have there is going to fall right out. And that's why you need to tar it airtight, because without it, there's going to be no closure. Agaf chatzia b'midi d'kai kai. But if the sediment plugs half the hole, so that half is still going to be covered. So if now the hole is pachos mikashir, so maybe it still is matzil on the tumah. So we are not poshet the shayla based on that mishnah. Okay, weiter. Now statement number 5 of Rava. Va'amar Rava, hare amru. We had said gazel chametz vavar lav pesach. If you steal chametz and then pesach comes, omer la'areshel chalafanecha. You can say to the person who you stole from, hareshel chalafanecha. Here's your chametz back. So by Rava Shaila is the following: Nishpa alav mahu. What if you had sworn after Pesach was over, you swore that you didn't steal chametz, right? That you didn't steal anything. So what's the din? Do we say that since the chametz could have exempted you from money, you swore on something that is money related? Mi amrinan kiven di imignav by shlumi le mamona. Do we say, since if it were stolen from you, you would have to pay him money now, you'd have to pay the value of the chametz at the time that you stole, so therefore what you swore on was mamon, even though right now this chametz is worth nothing, but the chametz means something to you, because by paying back the chametz, you exempt yourself from ever having to pay him back real money, so therefore you were kofar on money, and therefore you'd be chayiv the regular karban and the chomesh that you're normally chayiv when you're nishba v'hodeh. Odilma hashtem yes or do we say no? You weren't kofar in mamon. You were kofar in something that was worth absolutely nothing. This chametz is worth zero. So that's not called a kfiras mamon. So says Gemara milsadi bayle l'rava pshita l'rava. As much as Rava asked this as a shayla, Rava thought it was a davar pashut. How so? Da'amar Rava shori ganafta. If the conversation between two people goes as follows. Reuven says, Shimon, you stole my shar. Shimon responds, I didn't steal your shar. Reuven says back, oh yeah? Mativo atzlecha. That's my shar. It's in your yard. What's it doing by you? So Shimon responds, what's it doing by me? Shomer chinam ani alav. What do you mean? I'm a shomer chinam on it. And what goes unsaid in the Gemara, but Rashi adds in, and he swears that he's a shomer chinam on it. And then later he's moda that he wasn't a shomer chinam on it, that he did steal it. So chayiv, he's going to be chayiv, the carbon shvua, the carbon for swearing falsely. Right? So sharipata atzmo migneiv v'aveda, because at the time that he said he was a shomer chinam, he was saving himself money. How is he saving himself money? I mean, even if you're a shomer chinam, you have to return it. But what if the shar would have gotten stolen or lost? Now, since he's really a ganav is chayiv for everything that happens to the shar, so he would still have to pay back. But if we would have believed his claim that he's a shomer chinam, he'd be patur gnev v'aveda. So when he swore that he's a shomer chinam, even though in a chinam, even a shomer chinam has to give back the item, but he's still saving himself money in the eventuality, the possibility that there's gnev v'aveda. Shomer sachar ni'alav, if he claims I'm a shomer sachar, also chayiv shari patur atzma mishvura mesa, because he's still gaining himself some money in the possible eventuality that it breaks or dies. In which case, a shomer sachar would be patur, but obviously ganav would be chayiv. Shoal ani alav, if he claims he's a shoal, also chayiv shari patur atzma mesa machmas smalacha, because he's still exempting himself from a case of mesa machmas smalacha, because a shoal is patur from mesa machmas smalacha, a ganav is obviously chayiv. So alma, what do we see from there? Afagav da kaim. So you see that even though the item is right there and he's going to have to pay it anyway, since if it were stolen, it would be mamon that he's being kofar. So we view it as if he's being kofar mamon right now. So he's chayiv the normal carbon that he would be chayiv for a shvua on mamon. It's as if he took a shvua on mamon. So Akhanami, in our case as well, with the chametz, afagav the afar bialma, who, even though right now the chametz is just afar bialma, kiven di migna v'bayi shlumilei mamonu ma'alya, since if it were stolen, he would have to pay real money, hashnami mamonu kakafalei. So right, and so now also we say that he was kofar on real money to him. So it's going to count as a kfira of real money. Now, just to make quick mention, we've got to get moving here, but the Ketzos in Simon Pei Zayin Sif Aleph has a suffix if Reuven tainas that he lent two paros to Shimon, and Shimon says, I borrowed one of them, but the second one I only rented. And then both of them die ba'ones. So is Shimon chayev eshuos modem mitzas, or maybe he's not chayev eshuos because at the time that he was kofar, both were around, and he was saying essentially that I have to pay you back both of them, because one of them I rented from you, and one of them I borrowed from you. So he acknowledged that he had to pay back both of them. So that's the suffix of the Ketzos, and the Ketzos says that we could be poshet this suffix from our sugya that deals with Shuas HaPikadon. Because if the Nifka Tain is that it was not stolen, but rather he was a Shomer Chinam, he has a din of a Kofra Kol, since he wants to pater himself from paying if it gets stolen afterwards. So you could say the same thing, that when it comes to Shuas Modim Mitzvah, since through his Taina, that he's a Socher and not a Shoel, he would pater himself afterwards if an onus would happen. So therefore, already right now, he has a din of a modah b'mitzas, and therefore he would be chayav a shvua. So weiter in the Gemara, second white line. Yasav Rava v'kamil ha-shmeita. Rava was saying over this teaching again. Eisei Rav Amram l'Rava. Even though the Gemara said before Rava was masupik about it, that's why we say Yasav Rava. The Rava was saying over this idea that even though right now the item has no value, we still consider it as if it does have value because it could be worth something to him regarding the chiv to return it. So Yasav Rava v'kamil ha-shmeita. Eisei Rav Amram l'Rava. So Rav Amram asked Rava v'kichesh bar prat l'mod be'ikar. That Vekicheshba teaches me to exclude a case where you're moda on the actual item itself. Ketzad, so what's the case? What does this mean? Shari ganafta. Someone says, you stole my shar. Vuhomer lo ganafti, I didn't steal it. Mativu atzlecho, yeah, if you didn't steal it, then why do you have it? So he says, well, number of possibilities. Either he says, ata mechartali, you sold it to me. Ata nasatali b'matana, you gave it to me as a matana. Avicha machrali, your father sold it to me. Avicha nasali b'matana, your father gave it to me as a matana. Achar parasi ruts, I saw it running after my cow, and it just came into my property. Or me'elav ba'atzli, it just came on its own, it wandered into my property. Toa b'derech matzasav, I just found it wandering on the road, so I just took it. Shomer chinam ani alav, and this is the part that's important to us. You say, I'm a shomer chinam on it. Shomer sachar ani alav, I'm a shomer sachar on it. Shoal ani alav, I borrowed it. V'nishba v'hoda, and you take a shvua that you got the animal in any of those ways, and then later you're moda, so yachli e'chayiv, I might think you're chayiv in such a shvua, tamadomar v'kichesh b'prat l'mod be'ikr. But since you are moda, that you still owe the cow back to the guy, so you're not going to be chayiv a shvua, because you were moda on the ikr cow itself. So you see that it's directly against what Rabbah said. That Rabbah said that since it could lead him to save money eventually, you are going to be chayiv. So Amalei, Rabbah responds, Tadura. Rashi says, what does Tadura mean? Ein lev, you have no heart, if that's the kind of question that you ask. And in the Masoras Hashas on the side, he says that Rashi in Bamatzia has a different translation, that not no heart, but he says that Meshuamam, that you're a moron, that you're a crazy person to ask such a question. Why is it so crazy? Kitan Yahid de Kamar Lehelach. When do we say that he's pater? When you say, here, take it back. You're saying, I'm a shomer on it, now I'm ready to give it back to you, here, take it. Kika amino, when do I say that you're chayiv? To kaima ba'agam, when you're not ready to give it back yet, because it's still standing in an agam, and you're not able to give it back at this moment. So since there's still a possibility that an ones or something could happen to it, where your claim was going to try to exempt you from money, so therefore you're going to be chayiv. But if you're giving it back as you're making the claim, then there's no mamon involved at all. You're giving your moda b'keren, and then you're going to be pater. So frankly, Gemara, just cleaning up a couple of loose points. Ata mechartali, my moda b'ikarika. If you claim, one of the cases we said was you claim that the guy sold it to you. How's that moda b'ikar? If you claim he sold it to you, you're saying that you should keep it. So it says, Gemara, lo tzricha, dam le lo nasati l'chadami. No, you're saying that I never paid you money for it. You sold it to me and I never paid for it. Shakil torcha vizil. So here, take your shor back. I'm not interested in it anymore. So you are being moda that you want to give it back. Ata nasatli avicha nasli, if you say that you received it as a matana as well, my moda b'ikar ika. What kind of moda b'ikar is there if you're claiming that it was given to you as a gift? You're claiming you get to keep it then. So the answer is Gemara, no. Da amalei almanas da avinu lachnaich denafsha. You gave it to me as a matana, almanas that I do you a favor, and it happens to be, v'lo avdi lach, I never did you a favor. So shakil torcha vizil, go take your shar and go on your way. So what about the case where you say that you found it wandering on the road? So the guy should say that, okay, I found it wandering on the road. The guy should say, if you found it wandering, you should have done Hashavas Aveda. You should have returned it to me. So Amar Avod Shmuel, but Omer Shvua Aveda Matzasi, v'lo yisi yodei shishalach shachzi renalach. He says, no, I take a Shvua that I found it as an Aveda, and I had no idea that it was yours, that I could return it to you. So you're being moda right now in the Keren, but the guy can't have any taina that you should have done something earlier, because there's no way you could have done Hashavas Aveda earlier. You had no idea that it belonged to the guy any earlier. Okay, stop here.